I mean, in
it's a
what
valid
world do you care
question.
about it being proportional? Like, where are you
No, I
from
mean,
where it has to be proportional? You want to win.
that's right. We don't care about the just war theory of hot takes. Disproportional response is kind of what we want from Patrick Beverley. That's fair, Dominique.
Mean, all's
Absolutely.
fair in basketball and war, or love and basketball. I don't know, but he dropped an atomic bomb on Chris Paul's ass this morning for no damn reason, but 'cause he felt like it. Boy, do I love Pat Beverley.
He might still be dropping that bomb, by the way. I don't know where he is right now. But.
I mean, he dropped the Paul George bomb too. He just brought some people around that did not
That
know
was
that they were in the
veteran.
fight. He on
He
the
did the
West
whole
Coast.
thing
He's
of.
not even awake yet. He just woke up
No.
like, oh, we fighting? Oh, okay.
That was
He did the whole
perfect.
thing was of I'm not gonna name my
You
teammates who I talk to, but
know
I
what?
am gonna name my teammates that I talk to. Paul George also hates Chris Paul.
Completely off the cuff, clearly.
Yo, we often talk about Dominique. We're trying to do a bit was me and Dominique about who's the happiest person in sports today. And I woke up thinking it's obviously Luka Doncic. But no, it's obviously Patrick Beverley, Alabaster. The answer is obviously Patrick Beverley. I did not see that coming, although maybe we should have.
How's Jason Tatum feeling right now? What's the word you would use? You're a writer, Pablo, because I feel like happy doesn't like fully speak to, because I feel like it's like a proud, a defiance, a relief. But Jason Tatum has to be on this list of people who's having a really good damn morning.
A really good damn morning, but also it's kind of like you have the same birthday as someone else and they got their cake first because everybody's celebrating. Everyone's celebrating, you
So he's
know.
jealous. He's jealous this morning because what
Oh,
Luka did
yeah.
last night. Oh, true.
I had a homie who is born on Christmas Day and was just like, I
Oh,
don't get double the gifts. People just dual, like it's dual purpose the gifts. Like, yeah, this is birthday and Christmas.
You know
You're
what they do
welcome.
now? They do this now for the kids who have birthdays like that, is they celebrate their half birthday. I've noticed that with some of
Oh.
my friends' kids or my kids' friends, that I mean, if you got a birthday around Christmas, nobody's coming to your party. Nobody cares about you. Everybody's celebrating this Jesus guy. No one want to give you no love. But now they do like half birthday the other side of the year and pretend like it's their actual birthday, which is fine with me. I mean,
I
Christmas
think,
isn't actually Jesus' birthday, right? Isn't that a thing?
I mean, wow, that's a real
We're
historical
doing
deep dive. A
theology
lot of things. Yeah, a
now.
lot of things. What did Jesus look like? When was he actually born? Did we just compare Luka Doncic to Jesus? Were we even the first people to do that today? Because I think that has been a take
Do you
already.
think that Jesus has a great stank face? Because Luca got the best. Oh, I'm not attracted to men, but the way Luca turns his face up after he hit a step back in your face, like
Sexy.
my God, that's the only word for it, just.
Yeah, incredibly hard is
It's
for
difficult. It's
describing
difficult to
degree of
shoot. Yeah,
difficulty
it's
of the
very
shot,
difficult.
Alabaster.
Okay, put the question down, Alabaster. I can't
All right,
save us
well,
for much longer.
okay, we will pivot in theology, and I think the saddest person in sports today is the self-anointed point god, Chris Paul. And our
Is it
question,
self-anointed?
probably not, but
Oh, okay.
it seems like it. How do you explain what happened last night in the Suns Mavs game?
Yeah, also welcome to the Debatable, a fake television show where we debate nothing except for maybe whether Chris Paul has point god tattooed on his back like LeBron has chosen one. I don't know how to explain this because this was the most humiliating playoff elimination I've ever seen. I don't think there's a close number two. I feel was like the way you want to take this is even more slanderous in some ways than the way Pat Bev has taken it. So
You gonna slander more than Bev? You can't out
well,
slander Bev.
no. I'm not gonna out slander, but I will say I never believed in this team.
Oh.
And I think what happened yesterday is that one team had a superstar that you could do absolutely nothing about, and the other one didn't. Right? Like that's just the reality of what happened yesterday. The Mavericks, and we got to give credit to Jason Kidd because after he left Milwaukee, people basically were laughing at this guy. They laughed at the point Giannis stuff. They laughed at his tactics. They laughed at his basketball acumen. And there were people who actually lambasted the Mavs for having brought Jason Kidd in. But what they did to the Suns defensively in the first half of game seven on the Suns home was nothing short of a pantsing. They
Yeah,
got pantsed.
they did. Got
Essentially, they said,
pants.
Chris Paul, we don't give a damn about what you do when you got the rock in your hand. You
The
can't
thing.
beat single coverage. And Devin Booker, by the way, and this is what I'm going to love, what I love the most, he couldn't beat a double team, right? Like, he couldn't beat a blitz. And there's that famous footage of him in that pickup game way, way back.
Oh, when
he
yeah.
was complaining. I forgot about this.
He was complaining about, why are you doing doubles in a pickup game? We're trying to get better here. Devin Booker couldn't do nothing with a blitz coverage.
Damn. The thing about pantsing someone is it's only embarrassing if they have something embarrassing. And, like, there are some people or teams that you think you're going to pants them, and then next thing you know, they're the most popular boy in school.
Right,
but it's clear that the Suns did not have what they needed to be comfortable in a pantsless situation. And it was shocking to me. And Pat Bev's in an interesting situation where people are like, you can't talk because you lost, when he's talking trash about other games. But then he comes out after the Suns have been eliminated and starts trashing him, immolated, sadly. And I kind of don't like to come in afterwards. Like, I wish he would have said that before game 7, but he's not wrong. And the way that it turned out, I didn't know the Suns were a team that was not feared, or that nobody thought they were tough. Nobody was afraid of them, which is what he was essentially saying. But him saying it after watching that game feels like it's right. Because I thought the Suns were prohibitive favorites to win the title based on what they had done all regular season, how many different ways they can play offensively and defensively. And they just looked like they didn't know how to play basketball yesterday.
No, I mean, look, the pantsing and Luka Doncic basically dropping his own pants and being like, check what I got. It was unbelievable. Impressive. I mean, if you talk about Devin Booker being unable to beat double teams, Luka Doncic can do everything. I mean, look, his vertical leap isn't anything to write home about, but everything else on the floor, skill-wise, he is as talented a person, and this is where we get into hyperbole messianic theater as I've ever seen. I don't know. Show me a guy who can do this.
Now you went too far. You went too far.
No, but honestly, I mean, I think that show me a guy who can do. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I just watched him score.
He was good on defense.
The entirety of the
Phoenix
Suns.
He was great on defense, which I've never seen before. Which was so, I thought was impressive. I've never seen him play defense before.
No.
Not like that.
Defensive. Well, look. I think the stat I want to give you, which hammers home that point, Dominique, and the one I was making, is the fact that he had more points than the Phoenix Suns did in the third quarter, right? This was a 57-27 or 24 game, whatever it was. Like, no one's ever been up 30. Yeah, 27-27 at the half. He had a three at the beginning of the third quarter. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? And so what are the Suns left with? I don't know. Like, they're left with DeAndre Ayton, who, according to Waz, I mean, you saw this as it happened last night, I know, but like, Monty Williams is asked about, like, why did he only play 17 minutes or whatever?
We're going to keep that internal, Pablo. We're going to keep that internal.
We're going to keep that internal.
Which means DeAndre Ayton did or said something that is completely unforgivable. And if Monty Williams were to put his business out there in the public, would reflect very poorly on Ayton, which is why he said, we're going to keep that internal, because DeAndre Ayton obviously embarrassed himself yesterday. But to go back to the Suns in the first half, again, all the Mavs did, they timed their doubles on Devin Booker. They knew Chris Paul could do nothing against his one-on-one matchup. And here's the difference. Like, people often employ the blitz tactic against Luka, except he's 6'8". He can see over your double, and he knows exactly who to get the ball to press that 4-on-3 advantage. Devin Booker, it has not become that yet, and it'll be interesting to see what he does in the offseason to combat that. Like, you could take the example of somebody like a Damian Lillard. The Drew Holiday and them boys in New Orleans embarrassed them that one series, right? And they did that double team, get the ball out of his hands really quickly. Portland had no answers for it. Dame Lillard came back with a 30-footer. The next offseason, he's like, all right, y'all want to guard me to 30-foot? I'm going to learn how to score from here. And you guys can't do that anymore. So we'll see what Devin Booker adds. I just think the Suns were not prepared for what Dallas threw at them defensively. Everybody was locked in, engaged behind the play. It was a clinic. What they did.
What happened to our tried and true cliches, like the role players play better at home? Because Spencer Dinwiddie, like, where is he from? Because clearly he owns some real estate.
He's from South Central.
No, he's not. He's from Phoenix. He's from Phoenix because he was a role player who played well at home. And it appears that nobody on the Suns, even their stars, they weren't home. They looked like pathetic. It was, I don't know. It wasn't
Chris
even
Paul
like
had
was...
1 point. Chris Paul had 1 point at the half, I believe. One. Right? Like, or whatever. Like, it was in the whole, by the way, Spencer Dinwiddie, by the way, a guy who decided to take most or all of his contract in cryptocurrency. Ooh. Suddenly, finally, has had a good day.
I hope it was Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's the best possible hope. That man playing for a new contract.
Hope he ain't getting no dough.
USD. I want my next contract in USD.
That's sweet with fiat crypto. Currency. Mm. So in terms of like the Mavs, right? Like, Dominic, we've been talking about this for weeks now. Jason Kidd just wanted someone else to join the party.
Yeah.
Right? He wanted anyone else to join Luka Doncic at the party. And this looked like the most fun party you could possibly imagine.
You remember when Luka said everybody's tough when they up after whatever game that was, and then proceeded to be tough while they were down, and then be tough while they were up and continue to out-tough the other side? Like, this is why the Pat Bev words, like, ring so true now, because I don't know. I always consider Chris Paul tough in part because he's, like, kind of short and he looks angry all the time. But, I mean, I don't know what else to – is he hurt? Like, we always find out about injuries
after
someone gets eliminated.
There was I saw, I don't know if you saw the Mark Spears tweet, him limping out
of
the building.
I'm sure he spoke to CJ Paul at some point. Yeah.
I mean, Cliff Paul, perhaps one of the Pauls. but also like you also saw Pat Bev, by the way, on Twitter, like 13 or 14 hours ago now, as we talk, saying, I wonder who's going to pull the injured card in a blowout. You know, Pat Bev is also already seeing the game inside the game. But the Chris Paul, like, let's tarnish some legacies, man. Because, like, I think part of it is, look, I believe that Chris Paul is a top three point guard of all time. I am one of those people who believes that. But I also believe that a legacy is a democratic institution. And I don't think there's any way around this clowning, man. Like, this is his story as much as it is anything else. This humiliation.
Like, he might be the only player I can think of in recent history that's managed to extend the productive life of his career, but it's hurt his legacy. Like,
he's 37, yes.
Right? What happened last year? They were up 2-0 in the finals, right?
Yes, they were.
That sticks to him. And we were like, last year we were raving about how he made DeAndre Ayton into a player. He was the missing piece. I mean, not to mention how the Suns got better in the bubble and maybe they were just a better team. But anyway, we were giving all the credit to Chris Paul. And then this year, they're balling. We're like, hey, Chris Paul doing it up. He goes 14 for 14 in a pivotal game last series. Like, Chris Paul, point guard. Yep. And then somehow it feels like at one point we were going to call him like Charles Barkley. And now he's like ascended, sadly, he's ascended or descended, I guess, to a new plane where I feel like there's nobody else on this. Like,
it's
Rockets game, too. Like, it's.
I think the thing about Chris Paul for me is that his legacy is that his body was just too brittle to withstand what it takes to, you know, compete in the postseason year by year. Because, like, I remember individual moments with this guy. Was legitimately great in important spots, like 2015 against the Spurs in Game 7. The Spurs are defending champions. Nobody thought they were going to beat the Spurs that series. It goes down to Game 7, and Chris Paul was lights out in that game. He was incredible. And then, of course, Blake and him get hurt in the second round, and it's over, right? I just think this has happened time and time again where his body – has just failed him. Chris Paul has been individually great in big moments before, but at the same time, he's had these meltdowns where he's punching dudes in the nuts or OKC, man, where he's just like, he's just throwing the ball away and just like looks completely out of it.
Those are meltdowns. We're not letting him off the hook. We're not going to allow him to call those meltdowns. Those are calculated decisions that he's making. Them nut punches.
Absolutely.
Those are targeted strikes.
But again, we call it ugly. And I think, because the amount of people who were texting me yesterday who are celebrating, I'm just like, why are you so interested in Chris Paul not reaching his goals? And he's just like, I don't know. I just don't like the dude.
Well, I feel like now we have to show the number one dude who doesn't like the dude. Do we have the video, please?
First off, I know a lot of them, I'm going to get a lot for this, but you know, I don't really care. They benched the wrong person. Should have benched Chris.
Ain't nobody worried about Chris Paul when we play Phoenix Suns. Nobody in the NBA.
Well, what did I just say, though?
And I'm just letting you know how NBA players feel and think.
I believe you, but what I'm saying
he's finessed the game to a point where he gets all the petty calls. He should have fouled out the last game, too. You see the replay against Brunson. Hit him on the shoulder. Hit him in the mouth. Ref don't call anything. If that's me, oh, review it. Oh, flagrant one. If that's him, they don't call it. He can't guard. He literally can't guard.
He can't guard. He can't. Chris Paul can't guard anybody? Is that what you say?
Did you see that? No, he can't. Everyone knows that.
Excuse me. No. I don't know that. I haven't heard anybody tell me that.
Yeah, because you haven't suited up. What we call them? Cone. You know what you do with cones? Like when in the summertime, you got a cone. You make a move. What does the cone do?
Stay still.
Exactly. He's a cone. Stop playing. Give him the Ben Simmons slander. Give him the PG-13 slander.
Hold on.
Give him the slander that you give everybody. Come on, Steve.
Boy, scared of Luka. Ain't nobody afraid of anybody over there in Phoenix, man.
Still going.
Everyone in the league knows that, bro.
It's a whole nother program.
But y'all don't know that because y'all not
know that. A four-hour block this morning on ESPN. He dominated.
No one's afraid of Phoenix. I talked to some teammates. I ain't going to say who because I'm going to say who. Forget it. I talked to Paul Pierce. Man. No, ain't nobody scared of them.
Oh, God. Yo, playoff that showed up. Are people scared of playoff P, though? Is that a thing?
God.
I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
Did he
make himself
up.
Some money? Like, does he have a podcast? Oh, is somebody owe him a contract?
Dude.
Like, let's get him an ESPN right now.
He showed up with a buttoned-up polo shirt, and he trolled Chris Paul, I think, into starting a podcast. Like, Chris Paul needs to respond now. Like, Chris Paul, it's time for you to join in the messiest era in NBA history, because you can't – this dude – Dominique, what time did he wake up to do all that? You do get up all the time. What time would Pat Bev need to have gotten up to do that?
Well, I mean, I assume that Pat Bev's responsibilities are different than mine. Pat Bev ain't showed up to the production meeting, I'm guessing, at 5:30 or 6 o'clock. I'm sorry. Pat Bev walked in there 3 minutes before it was time to light Chris Paul's ass on fire with a blade, with a flame and some lighter fluid. That's all he came with. And
he was running a give and go with Stephen A. in his first appearance, dude.
It was incredible. Like, I want him to get Tom Brady money. Give that man Tom Brady money to be
deserved.
To be, because Tom Brady ain't gonna give us that. I hope to God Tom Brady comes out here. And it's like, you know what? Ain't nobody scared of Aaron Rodgers.
But not even Tom Brady. It would be like Ryan Tannehill doing it. It'd be like somebody like who is just an average player at the position being like, nobody's scared of those dudes. Nobody respects Drew Brees. Are you kidding me? This was just incredible. And again, like, my man Nate said it on Twitter. He's like, this is funny because in year 17 or whatever Chris Paul is in, he's better than Pat Bev has ever been at any point in his career.
Of course.
Yet Pat Bev just feels empowered to talk greasy, which I wonder if people really like hate Chris Paul. Because like I don't feel like this is something you can
I
come
no
out
longer
and do.
Wonder about that.
Yeah.
We now have very clear evidence.
I don't think you can come out and do this against like Klay Thompson, for instance, and people be on board with this because Klay has such a great Q rate. And Chris Paul seems to be that somebody like they just love piling on this
He's a seven-time first-team all-defense player. And he said he can't guard and has never guarded, and everybody knows that.
But last night they treated him like somebody who was worthy of being attacked. Jalen Brunson in the second half, his eyes were lighting up. Yeah. Spencer Dinwiddie was like, yeah, I'm getting paid off of this dude. It was crazy to watch, honestly.
Make it rain, Bitcoin, Spencer. Make it rain.
just defiling a corpse is what that looked like at the end.
That was really unnecessary, but I really enjoyed it. What's up, producer?
I got one question about the Suns moving forward to follow up on before we move on to the Western Conference Finals. And that is it possible that the Suns window is like closed and that this exact team is not going to be back next year? It just seems like every bite at the apple with Chris Paul at this age, there's less left. And Aiton's a restricted free agent. They clearly have issues there.
Before you answer this, Pablo and Waz, I want to thank Alabaster for not eviscerating me in the way that I deserved.
I know. I was waiting for it, Dominique.
Last week,
I was waiting for
it. Last week, I made an argument that the Suns were – even though we all knew at the time of the draft, we all knew Luka was better than DeAndre Ayton.
Oh no!
I made an argument that the Suns were smart to bring DeAndre Ayton because of his the flexibility that they give him. And while I knew Luka was a better player, I thought putting Luka on a roster with Booker would not have borne the same fruit as having Ayton and Chris Paul. And I was just stupid. And I'm sorry. I want to apologize to everybody for being stupid because Luka's ugly face is the best I've ever seen. All right. Now, I forgot the question that you asked them, but you guys can answer it. But I want to thank you, Alabaster, for your maturity and restraint.
Yeah. A remarkable kid gloves job stupid. There oh, by Alabaster.
I mean, look,
Dominique, I said that James Harden looked like he walked through a portal in Avengers Endgame after he hit all those threes in the fourth quarter. We've all had bad takes in the last week.
Well, not Walt.
Well, I've had a few of them, but not as royally terrible as the idea that having Ayton is better than having Luka, who's probably...
No, see, don't mischaracterize. I never said it. All right, we're not going to go down this path. It was dumb. I was dumb. Just dope out here lying. I ain't never say it was better. The way that the team evolved around that pick seemed to be smart. But anyway, that was back when I thought they were going to win a championship, which is clear that Phoenix is never going to win a championship. And the history of the future of titles. You couldn't do it with Charles. You can't do it with Chris. It ain't happening.
Oh, my goodness.
Cardinals not going to win nothing.
Oh, my God.
Diamondbacks. Damn. What other teams they got out there? Nobody can win championships.
Arizona State.
Coyotes.
Sun Devils.
Damn.
Oh, yeah, the Coyotes.
University of Phoenix online, but offline.
Alabaster, actually, their window was closed. I think the Ayton thing is something that everybody's going to be monitoring this offseason because what you're hearing, scuttlebutt, is that the dude refused to come back into the game, a la Scottie Pippen. You're hearing some of that.
Yep.
But what's going to happen, the Suns are not going to offer him the max deal. So he's going to go out and get a poison pill contract, a 2+1, which basically then leverages the Suns and is just like, I can be out of here in no time. So he's done. It's over. The Ayton thing is over in Phoenix. So you wonder how they're going to replace that production. They have all of their picks. They have some things they can move to still get, you know, some competence at the center position. But the Ayton thing, that's done. That's poison. And it's weird because it's just this weird quirk in the NBA, like not giving him that deal at the fastest possible time poisons the well in his relationship with the team.
Yeah,
and because he's the youngest guy on the team, he's getting the most guff. And it's just created this nasty situation where it's just like logically in any other job. Yeah.
So you went scuttlebutt and you went guff.
Yes.
In one take.
I am 80 years old. Dominic.
Yes.
My gosh.
I don't know if I can top that.
Look, even if they offered him an equal amount of money now, his feelings have been so hurt. He's so in his feelings. He's on a revenge tour and on the warpath.
You
so
think that
done.
Impacted the season? Like, is that something? Because if he's on a max deal, does he refuse to go back in? If he's or whatever, we don't know what's happening behind doors. But I think Pablo and I end up at this conversation often is how important the interpersonal stuff is, particularly in basketball, because the players are kind of their own little industries in a way that other sports aren't. So, like, I, to the point about Jason Kidd, I think one of the things that they did there that was best was they got Chris Stapps up out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that changed the feeling in the locker room.
Yo, Devin Booker was asked about Ayton, and he didn't say anything that resembled support. Everybody knew the contract was hanging over everything, Dominique. And you know what, Dominique? Let's play Robert WAD's vocabulary game.
Again?
Oh God! Besides the fact that Robert Sarver has like dozens of human beings in a lawsuit alleging,
I want to play the Sarver vocabulary game.
Yo, okay, here it is, WAD's and Dominique. Do you know what kind of gall Robert Sarver has?
Unmitigated?
It's hella unmitigated.
Oh, that's
hella unmitigated.
He needs to mitigate his gall. Mitigate that gall.
If anyone, the number one power ranking, galls needed to be mitigated. Number one, Robert Sarver, Alabaster.
I got one more Ayton follow up for WAD.
Hold on. Top. Before you move on, it's important that I get this out. This must be said, and then you can steer us to something less dangerous. I would like you to take a moment to imagine the names Robert Sarver was calling people in his private box as they were getting mollywopped. All right, proceed.
One of these animals is famous for eating bananas. That's all I'll say.
It's a great,
guaranteed.
Oh great game of Pictionary. Oh racist Pictionary is a good one. Yeah.
Save us, Alabaster. Save
okay,
us.
Okay, I'm going to steer us back to one more free agency question. Okay, so like I'm admittedly not a full believer in Ayton. Obviously, yeah. His career was on life support when he got suspended for PEDs. Chris Paul comes in and resuscitates his value. Yep.
Oh,
I love
the PEDs.
And so my question is basically, would it be the biggest deal if he even walked? Like, couldn't you get a Clint Capella or a rim running big who could reproduce the value for half
you
the
are,
money?
Okay, now you got too far.
Just a question. Just something to explore. No.
I guess my reason why you've gone too far is he's much better. I guess you're arguing that they should change their offense in some ways.
Just based on value, how you spend your cap.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm rambling when Waz.
No, let me throw this to you, Waz, because I think there's
when you brought up the Luka question, right? I'm like, yo, just think about they could have drafted Luka, and just think about what the Celtics spent to bring Big Al back. Right? Like, and Big Al is just more productive than this dude at a way advanced age. Like, I just think at the center position, you can get competence for a reasonable amount of, you know, assets given back. And so, I don't think it's going to be the end of the world if Ayton don't come back, especially in the ways that they were using him this year anyway.
But I mean, look, the place where this gets real untenable and unpalatable, right, is when you realize we drafted a dude number one overall, and now we just don't have him at all. Yeah, like, that does not happen.
He's not going to make his second contract. That's insane.
Dude, that part. I mean, and
that's Sacramento Kings-esque.
I was going to say, shout out to Marvin Bagley for being taken also ahead of Luka Doncic by the Sacramento Kings. The most indefensible move out of all of them.
I'm not in the basketball know like Waz is or like anyone else who are in the GMs and front offices, but I knew that Luka was better than them back then.
Everybody knew.
Like,
correct.
Everyone
everybody
knew.
Vlade Divac.
I knew.
Vlade Divac.
Yeah.
Like, the Suns coach was the Lithuanian national team's coach. But Luka Doncic played for the Lithuanian national team.
They had De'Aaron Fox, though. Don't trip. They had
Slovenia.
A point guard.
Oh man!
Slovenia. Yeah, I am so sorry.
Wow. Disrespecting so the Eastern Bloc.
I know Slovenia destroyed Lithuania in the Olympics. That's incredibly offensive.
Nerve of this cat.
I feel.
All look same.
The need to like muster some sort of meager defense of DeAndre Ayton. So I get your point that you can get 60 or 70% of DeAndre Ayton for much less value, but I believe that DeAndre Ayton's or players like him are much more difficult to find than, I don't know, just about any other position in basketball. Like, I feel like the mean level of big man is lower than the mean level of just about any other position. And DeAndre Ayton is on the high end. Like, he has one-on-one offensive moves, which is, like, unbelievable for anybody that big whose name isn't Giannis. And then on top of it, the big kicker is he can't get small balled off the court. And that's the huge thing to me is like, he is competent on perimeter defense. And maybe you think Clint Capella can do that. I don't, but even if he and Clint Capella are the same value on defense, what Ayton offers on offense, I think puts him over the top, but then it also requires you to then get him the ball, which maybe you're better off just not giving him the ball.
See, Dominique, you're right about the defense part of it, but I think on the offense, like this finesse stuff that he's obsessed with, like when wing players are guarding you and you're taking floaters from 10 feet instead of backing them into the basket and putting them under the rim, to me, that's a demerit. Like, you know, if you're a center and they're putting Spencer Dinwiddie on you
seconds.
On switches,
give me 20.
You got to beat them up.
It is a remarkable case for DeAndre. DeAndre shouldn't play that.
He's carrying Ayton's water.
Well, I used to be carrying KD's water, but I'm now stuck with Ayton's water.
I don't know how you chose this life for yourself, but you've downgraded to DeAndre Ayton.
Oh man. Anyway, I just want to make fun of Waz for saying guff. What else did he say? Scuttlebutt.
And then he
hit us with a, I need some post moves, back him down.
That's right. So, that's right.
And he threw in demerit.
Demerits? You demerit
people? Old ass.
Y'all lucky I ain't dropped Bogart on y'all. I had that in the tuck.
Oh, man. Is this just a general old man or is this old black man? Are you giving us, like, if I had your hand, I cut mine off? You got a bag full of weird old black man afros?
I think this is just middle America.
Okay,
old
gotcha.
Man,
gotcha.
Just generally okay. speaking.
Good, good. We don't want to scare anybody off. Good job. Appreciate it, Waz.
Yeah. All right. We've been bogarting this microphone, Alabaster.
All good. Go let's move on to the Western Conference Finals. Actually, this is a fascinating matchup. And my question is, based on what you've seen so far in this postseason, who do you favor, Luka or the Warriors?
It's funny to declare someone Jesus Christ and be like, I think the Warriors are going to win this. But I feel like that's the logic that I have to abide by if I'm a rational person. I want to see Luka do everything he did to the Suns, to the Warriors. I just think the Warriors, I mean, Waz, my sense of this is going to be that the Warriors are going to let Luka do Luka things, in part because they don't have a choice. Gary Payton II is not available. Like, I don't know who they throw at him. I don't know what they do to stop him. And the thing is, do they just stop everybody else? And that seems to be, if the Warriors' offense can be more like the fourth quarter of that game against the Grizzlies without Ja Morant, granted, but like that fourth quarter, not like the previous three, then yes, I think the Warriors are going to the NBA Finals.
I want to hear what Waz has to say so I can
copy
it.
I'm going the complete opposite direction.
Me too.
I think the Warriors have absolutely no answers.
None.
For what Luka brings to the table. And like, it's going to be bad.
Come on.
There was a certain point in the season, like January-ish, where the Warriors had the best unit in the conference on defense. Mm-hmm. That is no longer the case. They have
history.
One great defensive player and a
Uno.
Bunch of dudes who just like, bruh, they're
Man.
Going to get
they got a gang of cones out there.
Ginsu knifed
slice,
defensively.
Slice.
And yeah, I just think, and Dallas has, they've elevated defensively. It's obvious. Like, just watch.
Dallas has been real good.
Bro, they just held the Suns and all of their beautiful game execution, like moving that. The ball, all of that crap that these teams
Ready
like
rock.
To do. Dallas just said, that's nothing. Get out of here. You're done. And so, yeah,
was
I think Dallas
like
is going to beat Golden State. That was
like a regional
finals,
thing.
Dominique has been dropping Baby Bubba and Ready Rock over the last several shows.
I mean, it might just be a regional thing. Like, Ready Rock was just, like a slang word for, like,
by the way, Alabaster.
When I was in
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Are you seeing Drip making?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know. It made it up to New York, or I guess it made it down to Baltimore
it's,
from New York.
It's in a lot of rap. It's in a lot of rap.
Ready Rock? They use Ready Rock in raps? Oh, man.
Alabaster, I need you to Photoshop Waz's face on DeAndre Ayton's face, which was photoshopped onto KD's face for Dominique's cart pushing of water. I will say this, right? The Warriors in the first three quarters of that game on Friday night against the Grizzlies were like, they were the most disrespectful team until I saw what Luka did, because they just, I mean, it's like, this is a championship privilege we keep on joking about. Like, because they won, they really just don't give a shit.
Would you?
It's crazy.
Would you pick the Suns had they won, Pablo? Like, I feel like you would have picked the Suns to beat the Warriors had they won. But it's obvious to
Not
us.
Not me.
That
I would have picked the Warriors.
The better team.
We know was.
Yeah. It's obvious that the better team wins in the NBA playoffs. There are no upsets. 7-game series. So based on your facial expression, I was right. You would have picked the Suns. But the Suns lost. To a better team. And now you're picking the Warriors? Who haven't showed us very much yet. Like,
no,
we haven't
I mean,
seen.
It's I believe I am the institutional privilege that I rail against. Yeah. I am. I'm like, yeah, I guess Clay is more like game six Clay in my mind than games 1-5.
It's like you're the billionaire who is posting a black square talking about Black Lives Matter as if they are not perpetuating the institutions that they pretend to rail against.
And then I'm donating on the down low
exactly.
Freaking what's his name.
So
Joel
Pablo's
Lincoln.
A fraud is
Joe
what
Billy
we're saying.
Allergy,
okay,
dude.
I like that.
So yeah, I mean, all yeah, you, I'm... I don't understand. Yeah, that dude has gone off the deep end, bro. But JD Vance, just in case you thought I was ducking him, come see
That's
me
right.
in these streets.
JD.
I'm a Pat Bevum.
guys,
I was talking
Pat
to
Bev.
My teammate last night. Actually, it was Waz. Me and Waz.
Your book is trash. Your life story's trash.
Ain't nobody scared of
trash.
Your book.
Peter
nobody
Thiel's funding you.
Book.
That's trash.
A lot of people Sorry. Put out books on the same day you put out your book because ain't nobody scared of your book.
Damn.
Two things. First one, update. Pat Bev is actually on SportsCenter right now. Some producer is terrified of telling him to leave the set. and he has just been on TV before. My second thing is, I actually think this is a fascinating like matchup of styles with the Mavs and the Warriors, because we saw the Warriors, even when they were sort of this amazing defense, struggle at times with the five out Rockets, and this is sort of a souped up version of that with Luka Doncic. And the reason I say that is because Zach Lowe made the point that the Mavs offense is incredibly efficient when Luka touches the ball twice on a possession and mismatch hunts twice with pick and rolls, and the Warriors lack perimeter defense. He's going to be able to find crazy mismatches, giving up the ball and getting it back and running multiple pick and rolls. And that could be disastrous for this Warriors team.
Particularly since they aren't shooting well. Like, they can three-point their way out of a lot of trouble if they hit them. But they haven't been, like, I don't know what the numbers are.
No, Steph hasn't been. Steph has not been nearly himself. I mean, Luka is.
I mean, Clay either.
Clay until game six. No,
and Phoenix is the best team to replicate what Golden State does. All of that off ball, running off the screens, all of this precision crap that everybody gets all excited about in the regular season, because it works beautiful when you're playing against Houston and you're playing against OKC and you're playing against Orlando, and these teams don't prepare game plans for you. They're just going out and running their stuff. It's a little bit different when guys have time to prepare.
Mid-sentence throat clear? That's very old man, too. You are killing it. That crap sounded so perfect, like it came through some gray mustache hairs.
I saw some ready rock coming out of there.
I got some grays coming out of the chin now. So, yes, I am a gray beard. I'm sizzled. I'm seasoned.
Sizzled? You a sexy old man?
I was going to say grizzled, but then seasoned, and then I just messed it up.
That's a very old man move. Just two words that kind of vaguely sound alike.
Now all we need you to do is to start playing Taboo with players' names. You know that what's his name? You know the tall one. You know that guy right there. That's the next move.
As someone who confused Lithuania and Slovenia, I probably shouldn't be laughing as hard as I am, but I am. But to your point, Waz, right? Like, Luka's probably going to average like 40 in this series. That's not even a joke. I think he's going to do it. He's been unbelievable in elimination games specifically, but against this team and their defense, I think, that's going to be a thing they actually opt into through the Warriors. Yeah.
I was like, how is Dallas supposed to stop people with Moxie Kleba and Powell and Davis Bertans? How is this supposed to actually freaking work? And then making it work somehow. I don't know what to say. No, they guarded people.
So this is what Jason Kidd said about Luka, by the way, to the point of like, who is he trying to be? And like, are they like the five out Rockets of yore, to Alabaster's point? Like, Jason Kidd apparently told Mark Jones, our colleague, before game six, that Luka's model, he's trying to get him to trend away from Harden and towards LeBron. Which is, again, like a lot easier said than done, but it turns out that this dude is doing it. Like, he is actively doing that in ways that are, he's doing it, man.
You need to stop.
He's doing it. I've been calling Luka baby mini LeBron for a long time.
Dominique, I was skeptical of where Luka could take it. But I'm starting to think he's on the LeBron trajectory.
Yes,
and this is somebody with the utmost respect for what LeBron James has done in this game. Like, I'm somebody who's just like, people don't even actually understand how great LeBron has been. I think something similar
is happening. Clearly, you're one of those people.
No. Yeah. I think something similar is happening with Luka. This is 07 against Detroit stuff.
Correct.
Like, to be this young and this dominant and have this, like, he clearly has a hold of the game and what he needs to do and wants to do. He's on the LeBron trajectory. He's about to go to the finals, Dominique.
I know. The defense is the difference. The defense, which Dominique saw for the first time in earnest, is going to be the thing that makes this less ridiculous in retrospect.
Dominique is incredulous. I'm
huffing.
I can't. You know, when kids in school,
they would take Ziploc bags. They take like the fancy black markers and draw big circles and just go.
That is the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Absolutely.
I've heard people say that.
Don't do that at home, kids. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've heard people say that they sniff markers, but I've never actually seen anyone who. Like, that's the saddest thing ever. Are you in a drug desert? Like, what the hell is going on that you got to sniff
at least
markers?
Get your hands on some whippets, Pablo. Golly, Jesus.
I feel like I'd rather have a lot of sugar over markers. Like, I could give me a sugar high rather than a marker high, but clearly y'all are on something. Cause I mean, we can be kind and we can be res- We can be like respectful of what he was, what he's accomplished. We can celebrate him, but we don't got to invoke the name. Just don't. Just don't invoke the name. Oh, that's all I ask. Y'all can say all the things you want about him, and I will agree with you until you invoke the name. Go back and watch it. Just go back and watch the way the man plays or played back then. This is like, chill out,
man.
Luka can be an all-time great. He can be in all the conversations you want to put him in, but not that one. Mm. Not yet. Not yet.
We'll be. I have a feeling we'll be revisiting this.
No, soon. I have no problem revisiting it when it is appropriate to be revisited. Like all the fake Jordans that we talked about, we should have left Jordan's name out of it until LeBron showed up. Then it was appropriate to have the conversation.
How dare you slander Harold Miner?
Yeah, baby,
Isaiah
Jordan.
Ryder.
He was just bald.
So I have a question, Fox. My question to you is like, look,
you on their team too? Okay.
No, I'm a LeBron stan. I grew up a LeBron stan. He's of my era. And it's clear to me that Luka grew up a LeBron stan as well and sort of modeled his game as this point forward after him. And like, what has he not shown that young LeBron showed? Obviously, they're different athletes, but like effect on the offense and effect on a basketball game.
He's controlled the game in amazing ways. Here's what he's not shown. Like LeBron was playing with Eric Snow, Booby Gibson, Andy Varejao, Sasha Pavlovich.
Yeah,
like
Ira Newbolt.
They went and got Shaq. Remember that when they went and got Shaq,
who was completely old and like the level of talent that Cleveland had was just way lower than what they're doing these days. Like what Luka has right now, that like you can't compare who LeBron was hooping with to what these teams like Monte Williams, and I call him Monte Williams because BlackBerry used to always autocorrect his name from Mo to Month. So I call him Monk Williams. Monk Williams made an all-star team because he played next to LeBron. Mm-hmm. Like that, like it was just, there's no competition as far as the people that LeBron elevated.
It was worse. But
it was also the way he was doing it too. Like as impressive as this last win was, Luka got plenty of help. People came to the party. Like, yes, I would have to go back and look at those games, but I don't remember LeBron getting a ton of help. I remember LeBron hitting big clutch shots all the time, locking down on D, getting guys wide open layups. Like, that's a whole different story. But I'm not going to let you sneak in here, Alabaster, and act like you are a neutral, asking a neutral question, and say you're a LeBron stan, and then slide in some baloney that I got a chance. What do you see LeBron or Luka doing that LeBron, or what do you see LeBron do that Luka didn't do? That's a stupid question. I'm not answering.
Can I give a constructive suggestion?
Wait, why are we allowed to talk to our producer this way? We can't call our producer's question stupid.
He's the producer.
This is a post-racial America. This is post-racial America, Waz.
We're living
the dream. The arc of justice has bent towards us making fun of our producer.
The debatable union is strong.
We have a union.
We are unionized and everything.
I just want to comment on Waz. You mentioned Eric Snow, and it did just hit me for the first time somehow now that like Eric Snow is the guy you need to prove that you are doing it by yourself. Oh, Allen Iverson had Eric Snow.
LeBron had Eric Snow.
Luka needs to go sign Eric Snow off the street just so that in 5 years after the fact, we can say about how he had Eric Snow on his team.
He's a burden in human form. Yes.
That's right.
Goodness gracious.
Before we move on, I would like to say there was an all-time Larry Bird quote about young LeBron where he said, you don't understand. I'm not trading for those guys. Those guys playing with LeBron James look a whole lot better than they really are. So even the legend agrees, which is a great transition for the Celtics. And our question, they've been awesome and the most consistent team in the East. Do you view them as the favorites now that they've gotten past the Bucks?
Can we just talk about how Alabaster laughed at his own joke and like celebrated it? Like Luka laughing after hitting a shot.
I do it all the time, Alabaster. Don't even trip.
That's right. So look, the Celtics
special.
Are the Celtics the favorites now they've gotten past the Bucks? Logic brain here. I'm going to try to use logic brain. Yes. Yes, yeah. They just assassinated Kevin Durant and Giannis Antetokounmpo, and their defense is legit, and they're doing the thing where somehow they are setting franchise or tying franchise records for most three-pointers in a game. So that seems to be a pretty good formula for winning in the modern NBA when you have Jason Tatum also to lean on and Jaylen Brown in ISO when you need him. What?
Dominique looks like he's got something. He's not smelling the Celtics. He's already disappointed.
I'm tired of calling out contradictions because you're using this logic brain that you just refused to use for the Suns, who were the best team in the NBA by record. And then they lost to the Mavs, but now you think the Mavs are going to lose to the Warriors. But then you just called the way that you arrived at this decision logical. So right. What is the other one? Emotional? Illogical?
No, it's all logical. It's all very logical.
All right, Waz, please tell us the truth, because
the Celtics, to me, they got to be considered the favorite because they can stop all these teams. Their defense from the regular season has basically been, they were breaking records for a certain point during the regular season. That's transferred over into the playoffs. And I think matchup specifically, they can throw a ton of wings at Luka. And it's not that you're going to stop him, but it's going to be difficult at every single turn, right? It's different than him just backing Chris Paul down, taking a turnaround 9-footer.
Who do you hunt? Waz, who do you hunt on the Celtics is the question.
Exactly. If your best option is Marcus Smart, that's not
the player of the year, Marcus Smart.
Exactly. That's not very promising. So I think just matchup wise, they're going to be able to make life hard for every single other team left in the playoffs. And their unit, that defense, is the most elite unit left in the playoffs. Even more elite than Dallas's offense with Luka Doncic, who is probably the best offensive player in the NBA at this point.
Can we celebrate the guy who played like he's in that conversation for best offensive player of the year in Grant Williams?
You think so?
Because that dude, yo.
Oh, you're talking about his one game. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he had never taken 9 threes in a game yesterday. Yeah, 7 of 18. 7 of 18 on threes. I believe that's at least tying or setting the record for most made threes in a game 7. And yeah, he led the Celtics in points, 27. I mean, it was... like, and he did it, to Waz's point, he was a two-way player. He's been a two-way player. I mean, the defense has been the thing that's been most distinguishing about him. He helped stop KD, he helped stop Giannis, and now he's doing this. It's you know, I was ready to clown on Brad Stevens for a lot, and these little moves, man, this team as constructed is brilliant.
I mean, I'm interested in the story behind the whole Brad Stevens moving up to the front office, because, like, it seemed obvious that maybe he is making good front office decisions, but after what we've seen this year, he wasn't the coach for this team, and he knew it, I guess, because they were bad.
He deserves props for that.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's a great point.
They were bad. And he like early in the season, they were terrible. And the guy who brought them out of this is Ime Udoka, which Brad Stevens had a hand in hiring. And also, like, the idea that you can have the foresight and the self-awareness to realize that you ain't the man for the job. But I guess also the opening was there and the Celtics wanted to keep him, because I don't think he would have quit just to walk away. It's like,
he was exhausted by the idea of coaching this basketball team. That is, as I understand it, that is objectively true. And yes, he had an ego that he subjugated, to Dominique's point, which is something we very rarely see.
He deserves all the credit for that, because, like, not a lot of people step away. And the given explanation is, like, these dudes don't want to hear me no more. It's over. Like, we've done this. We're tired of each other. We need to try something different. And I think my skills and abilities can be best served, you know, in some different capacity for the Celtics. And it's worked out. Ime Udoka has been a godsend for them.
Do we have to trust his decisions now? So, like, if he's like, you know, who's the right coach for the finals? Me.
I wasn't built
for all these other series, but I'm built for the finals.
I do want to walk back something I said, because I did say that he subjugated his ego by becoming the president of the Boston Celtics, which is a little bit of some misdirection on my part, admittedly. But I don't know, Alabaster, like, I see the Celtics as the strongest team.
Danny Ainge was the problem the whole time. Got him about the paint, and that was the solution that they needed.
Waz, do you remember the greatest quote? By the way, so the Celtics, I love that we have not mentioned the Miami Heat once at all until right now.
That was my interjection. Thank you.
Oh, okay, very good. So what I'm going to laugh at is the fact that Danny Ainge, right? Remember the greatest press conference quote of all time? Danny Ainge being talked about by Pat Riley when Pat Riley's running the Heat. Dude, like...
Yeah,
Danny Ainge needs to worry about his own I guess I'll just curse. Fucking team. He's a mess. He's a mess. I mean, it's, but the Heat PR guy walked out there and read it off a piece of paper and put it on wax, as he undoubtedly did not say, because I know
that's real hate.
But that is remarkable. Yes. Patrick Beverly-esque levels of hate.
I will say this. You got to give Danny his credit for drafting Time Lord, drafting Grant Williams, a bunch of the guys, Peyton Pritchard, all of the guys that are now delivering. Jaylen Brown was seen as a reach. You know, they traded back and got Tatum. Like, he did it. Like, he's the vision that Danny Ainge had for this team has come to fruition this season, so he deserves his props for that. However,
he's in Utah.
However, all those times he didn't want to trade for Jimmy Butler and all these other people, I still hold it against him, even though it's working out now.
What's the not the finals you predict? What's the finals you want to see? Because I feel like whoever of the teams that are remaining.
That's easy for me. Miami and Dallas, because I'm not a fan of San Francisco. I just think it's one of the most overrated cities in all of America.
I
have no interest in going there for the finals.
I was talking about you're going full Stephen A. You're going full Stephen A.
He's been going full on newspaper columnist.
Yeah,
only worried about his travel itinerary.
From a basketball standpoint, not from a hotel arrangement standpoint. Jeez.
Yeah, but you underrate the, you know, the sights and the
Dallas,
food.
Let's talk about that insult right here.
I've seen the sights.
Waz, you said you're telling me that Dallas is a better city than San Francisco.
Have you been to San Francisco?
I mean, not
recently. It's cold, it's gray, and not a Negro in sight.
Alcatraz.
I'm sorry. I'm good off of San Francisco. Like, Oakland is dope. Don't get it twisted.
Now, by the way,
cool.
Now Waz sounds
San
like J.D.
Francisco,
Vance.
No, thank you.
This is very J.D. Vance of you, Waz. You
I've
go to
really
Union Square right now. Try to find a black person.
You're right. I don't love San Francisco. But from a basketball standpoint, what I was angling for before we wasted time talking about why Waz hates San Francisco was, like, I think I want, no disrespect to the old guard, but I like the idea of the Mavs versus the Celtics. Like, yeah, because I feel like whoever wins that series is anointed. At this point going forward, they will be in LeBron conversations, unfair as that may be. That's where they're headed.
Also, just the conflicted conscience of a Celtics fan trying to hate Luka Doncic.
Oh, my goodness.
You know you love him. You know you love him.
Deep inside.
I think if his name was Luke Donaldson, they would have they would have a harder time.
That's a good point. He's mostly some Lithuanian kid.
Yeah.
Until
Can we get Luka some nice shoes, man? His the Eric Doncic.
He needs to get a signature line right now, right?
Like, no, he's wearing his first signature shoe right now. It's fine. If you've ever seen some of the other products Jordan Brand has put out. For the non-Jordan guys, this is up there. I know I'm damning with fake praise, but come on.